Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hi, and welcome to Coffee and Pearls, 15 minutes of wisdom for Catholic moms. I'm Sterling Jakewith, and today we're going to be talking about sugar, sleep, and the Book of Sirach. So, starting in October, I eat 0 pieces of candy. No joke, I eat no candy, and then for November and December, I eat 0 desserts, except for Thanksgiving and the day after, and Christmas in the day after. Okay? Now, why do I do this? Why do I do something so extreme? Well, part of it is because I have very little willpower when it comes to candy and desserts, and I need bright lines to make sure that I don't break my rules. So, bright lines is a lawyer term. In contracts, good contracts have bright lines, which means everybody involved knows when that line has been crossed. That is a good contract. And you want to make a good contract with yourself, because if you say something like, I'm going to eat less sugar in October, or even less candy, I'm going to manage, you know, my candy expectations this year so I don't buy Halloween candy and then eat it all before October 31st. If you have a bright line that says you will eat 0 pieces of candy, that makes it really easy. You could have a bag of Reese's Pieces peanut butter cups just hanging out in your pantry, and you would say, nope, I see you, Reese's, and I will not be eating a single one of you. You will be strong. If instead you say, well, I'm just not going to eat that much candy, I'm just going to eat it sometimes. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean if you've had a bad day? Does that mean if you're tired? Does that mean if you've just cleaned up and poop of any kind? When I clean up poop of any kind, I feel like I deserve something awesome, right? Whether it's from the dog or the baby or the 2-year-old, you know, like that's gross. And I went many, many, many years of my life without ever having to touch poop. And now I touch it all the time. And so I feel really entitled to something great when that happens. Do I get a Reese's Pieces then? How about on a Saturday night when I'm watching a movie with my husband? You see, as soon as you allow yourself to have exceptions, then you really can come up with an exception for every single day. There's pretty much a Saint feast day every single day. And my kids have figured this out, by the way. So when they start getting hungry after breakfast, they go, so Mom, whose Saint day is it? Like they care whose saint day it is. They just know that on some of the saint days, I will give them something. And I created those little monsters, by the way, because sometimes they would ask me that and be like, oh, you guys, it is St. Thomas Aquinas's day today. Let's do something fun. And that happened enough times that now they think they can trick me into doing that. But I have figured them out. Sometimes is really hard to manage. 0 times is very easy to manage, okay? Another way to say this, I like this, Brian Johnson said, 99% of the time is super hard. 100% of the time, piece of cake. Super easy, okay? I eat 0 pieces of candy in October because starting in October, candy will be everywhere for free. People will be trying to give you candy everywhere you go. And there's something about free things that makes us want to eat it, right? So I just go, nope, zip, zilch, no candy. And I've successfully done this for the past couple years. So it's not even as scary to me anymore. No desserts for November and December is a lot scarier because that involves social situations more often where I have to go to a party and just kind of be like, I'm not going to eat those fabulous hand-dipped pretzels that you made with love. That's a little bit harder for me to pull off. But I still do it because I'm also a creature of inertia. Once I begin doing something, I do it hardcore, and it's hard for me to stop. So if I have one cookie, I will eat many cookies and then bake cookies and then buy cookies, right? Like, I just spiral out of control very quickly. So it's a lot easier for me to do none. Okay? And I know this sounds hard, ladies, but you need to be strong because your health is worth it. Okay? Your ability to take care of your family is not worth that 30 seconds of happiness. Okay? Do this right now. After you're listening to this, or if you're walking around, go grab whatever sugar thing you have if you haven't been dieting, and look at it, and then just eat it. Just eat it. Be like, that was delicious. Then stop and think about it. You could even time yourself. It wasn't even 30 seconds, by the way. You need a piece of candy in about 7 seconds. And then it's gone. And it's over. And it didn't actually make you any happier. And it didn't actually calm you down. And it didn't make you feel better about what you did today or what you have to do later today. It just filled your body with sugar. And you want to know how they find cancer in people's bodies? They have you drink a bunch of sugar water, and then they use a machine to see where that sugar spreads. Because cancer eats sugar. Sugar is cancer food. Just let that sink in. Sugar is cancer food. When you see a bag of white sugar or a bag of brown sugar hanging out on your counter, I want you to start looking at that bag of sugar with one of those Mr. Yuck stickers on it and thinking, sugar is cancer food. And everybody listening to this has had their life touched by cancer in some way. That is just the world that we live in right now. 1 in 3 of you have someone in your immediate family who has dealt with cancer. And very many people have dealt with losing someone to cancer. Sugar is cancer food. This isn't about weight loss. This is about overall health. And you are strong enough to kick this. Now, I feel almost as strongly about refined white flour, but my goodness, it's hard to kick both those things at the same time. So if you can just focus on sugar, do it. And instead of getting really nitty-gritty about it and looking at all of your sauces and everything and feeling overwhelmed by being completely sugar-free, just start by not eating candy and desserts and not putting white sugar in your coffee, right? Like, just start there. If you can manage that for a whole year, then it'll be easy to make salad dressings with no sugar in them, okay? Sugar is cancer food. Kick it out. All right, the next thing I want to talk about is sleep. You are a crazy person when you don't get enough sleep. I am a crazy person when I don't get enough sleep. My judgment is seriously impaired, okay? Not sleeping is very similar. Like, what happens in our brain is very similar to getting drunk, right? We lose the ability to make rational, grounded decisions. When you do not get enough sleep, you are likely to be angry and sad and make rash decisions that you will regret. When I've had a bad night of sleep, the first thing I do in the morning is I say, I will not make any important decisions today. Because I have a completely skewed view of the world, of myself, of my family, of the future when I am tired. I cannot see it clearly, okay? And this is an actual chemical process that happens in your brain that makes it so that you can't function well, all right? And I need you to remember that because a lot of you have been having kids for a long time. And so you've stopped believing that you make good choices or can think clearly. Instead of just realizing that if you took any person and made them live on as little sleep as maybe you are having right now, that they too would have a foggy brain and not be able to write complete sentences sometimes. Sleep deprivation is so painful and damaging to your body that they actually use that as a form of torture for soldiers, right? They just keep soldiers awake. They don't let them sleep. And that is a form of torture for them. So there's a couple things that you can do that I want to mention. Then I'll talk about those of you who are just kind of living in a season like that. So first, digital sunset. I've said this many times, but you need to hear it many times. Get off your phone really 2 hours before you go to bed. But if you just can't pull that off, 1 hour before you go to bed. Put your phone away. Nothing will happen that's important in that last hour. Put your iPad away. Don't do it. Stop watching television. You need an entire hour, really two, but I'm fighting for this hour right now, of no blue screens, okay? Next, if you have trouble calming down and getting sleepy, take some melatonin. That is a real, like, low-level, natural thing that you can take. You take it 2 hours before bed, and it just helps you to feel sleepy, right? It's not a sleeping pill. Google it, read about it. It's great, and it can be a good way to get you back into the habit of sleeping. Like, if you're really suffering from insomnia, the only way to fix that is to sleep, but then, of course, the more tired you get, the harder it is to sleep. Insomnia is a funny thing. And so melatonin can help you kind of break that cycle. The other thing that you should be avoiding before bedtime is alcohol, caffeine, and chocolate, which sucks, ladies. That's a cruel joke of Mother Nature to say, not only did you have a super stressful day and I've decided that your body needs a ridiculous amount of sleep to recharge, but all the things that you really want to do right before bed, you cannot do. Okay? If you want a glass of wine, drink it at 8 o'clock. If you go to bed at 10 o'clock, right? Give yourself 2 hours. I mean, I just don't have hardly any alcohol ever. I mean, I have to say it like that because every once in a while I do, but I know that I can't have alcohol, caffeine, or chocolate before bed. And really, for me, it's even earlier than that because I'm very sensitive to those things, so like 5 p.m. Okay? And again, this is really hard, but your sanity is important. If you're feeling really hopeless right now and you're crying out to the Lord, why can't I manage my life? But you're sabotaging your own sleep and then continuing to be kind of a crazy version of yourself. Of course you're stuck in a stressful life cycle, okay? And you may not be able to control your financial situation, your strained marriage, your, you know, kids that are going to multiple doctor's appointments, whatever it is that you're dealing with, those big, big things, you may not be able to control those things, but you can control what goes in your mouth and how you manage your sleep, okay? Now, for those of you that are in a season of sleeplessness, like I am right now with a newborn baby, first, just have some forgiveness for yourself. It is a season, and we do just have to endure that sometimes. But the second thing I want you to consider is, you know, is it really true that you're in this inevitable season and it's as bad as it has to be? You know, I'm an aggressive sleep trainer with my kids, and my kids usually sleep through the night by 12 weeks. And we work really hard for that. That doesn't just happen. Okay. You know, I had a friend and her kiddos were sleeping great, and then one of them got the flu or something really bad, worse than the flu, and so she ended up bringing her into her bed for like a whole week, and then after that, this little girl wanted to sleep in her bed all the time, and then she let her for like a whole nother year after that, and she would tell me she was getting no sleep because her two-year-old was sleeping in bed with her, and I was like, then take her out, right? I mean, take her out. She may cry for a couple nights because she wanted to sleep with you and got used to that, but she doesn't have to. And if it was ruining my sleep and my ability to care for my family, I would make a bright line around that and say, this is not going to happen. And I totally understand, you know, taking care of a sick kid. And sometimes we slide a little on our rules, and that's okay. But then when they're better, boom, bright lines back in. If you're in a season of sleeplessness, are you making it worse somehow, right? I know that right now, my baby's eating at about 8 midnight, 4 in the morning, and then 7:30, okay? And when that baby eats at 8 and goes to sleep, I just want to hang out either with my husband, or I want to watch Netflix, or I want to read a book, or I want to work on my stuff, because finally the baby's sleeping, all the other kids are sleeping. I want to do that so badly. And I know that I can't. I know that if I do that, I will have a bad night's sleep, and then I will just be wrecked the next day. So at 8:30, I go to bed, even though it feels like painful in my body. It actually feels so painful to give up those things that I feel uncomfortable. But I know that I need to do that because I have some big goals, and I'm never going to accomplish them if I sabotage my sleep. Okay, so I'm in a time where I don't get a lot of sleep, but I don't need to make it worse. The other thing for those of you that are in a season of sleeplessness right now is, can you turn it into something positive? You know, if you're up anyway, can you pray your rosary? Can you do your Bible reading? Can you do your prayer time so that you don't have to do that during the day? Can you read a book? Can you pray for the people in your life? Use that time instead of sitting there grumbling over not sleeping, right? So I did a lot of that when I was pregnant because I was up a lot in the middle of the night and couldn't sleep. All right? Those are just some things I wanted to share with you about sleeping. I'm pretty sure you've heard most of those before. You just needed a reminder, right? You are important, and you are the peace center of your family, and you will not be able to take care of them the way that God wants you to if you're not taking care of yourself. Okay? So the last thing I want to talk about, just briefly, there's not much to say, but when I'm struggling, I love the Book of Sirach. I mean, I love it so much because it's, to me, it's the tough love book of the Bible. It will just kick you in your pants. No, it's a kick in the pants. I guess it's the same thing. Your pants are being kicked, okay? It's really lovely and difficult at the same time. But this book talks about what following the Lord really looks like, what wisdom really looks like, true wisdom. And every time I dip into it, I'm like, ah, that's exactly what I needed. And it sometimes it's hard to hear, but it's what I need to hear. Okay. I picked just three verses just to give you an idea. For those of you that haven't dipped into that, I was Catholic for probably 3 years before I read the extra Catholic books. So no judgment if you haven't read it at all, but do it because it's great. So here are the three that I pulled out. One of them, the fear of the Lord rejoices the heart, gives gladness, joy, and long life. That term, fear of the Lord, you know, we've really lost sense of that. Even the Catholics have kind of adopted this Protestant attitude of like, oh, I love Jesus, everyone goes to heaven, it's fine. I was talking to a woman the other day who's had a lot of kids close together, and all the kids right now have health problems, so she's just like swimming in appointments. And I said, well, why don't you guys just stop having kids for a while? And of course I meant NFP, but I hadn't had a chance to say that before. And without skipping a beat, she said, well, you know, I don't want to go to hell. And I just thought that was so awesome that she owned that right there. And again, she thought I was going to say, just go on the pill or something. And so that was an appropriate response. And it was such a gutsy response. But I was like, snap, girl. That is a Catholic fear of the Lord response. I don't want to do that because I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to delve into that. I don't want that to make any of you feel bad. But that's kind of the point, though, right? Like, we have this incredibly high bar that's set in Catholicism, and we need to recognize that we fall short of it all the time, and that needs to concern us. We don't need to live in guilt all the time, right? I think that's kind of a twisting of this Catholic fear of the Lord, is it gets called Catholic guilt, but that's not really what it is. It's us saying, we see what God wants of us and what we're capable of, and we're fearful when we throw that away for the world. Now remember, His mercy is endless, so it's okay if we screw it up. You're going to screw it up. I screw it up. We screw it up every single day. But healthy fear of the Lord continues to say, how did I take one step closer to hell today, and how did I take one step closer to heaven? How am I doing those things, and how can I do more of the latter? The next quote I really like is, it says, my child, when you come to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for trials. This life is not easy. In fact, I guarantee the more you grow closer to Christ, the harder your life will become. And that, it just sucks, you guys. I mean, I don't like that. I don't want that to be true. But it is true. So one, we need to normalize that. We need to stop going, wow, I read my Bible every day this month and some things got really difficult in my life. Yeah, that's kind of the gig, right? Like the closer you grow to Christ, the more angry Satan gets over that and he throws stuff at you. We're going to talk about spiritual attacks later this month. The next quote I wanted to share was this. Consider the generations long past and see, has anyone trusted in the Lord and been disappointed? I need this one because I feel like my marriage has been going through a rough patch for 3 years. And like, that doesn't feel like a patch anymore. That feels like a field, right? We're like in a rough field, you know, like 5 acres of rough marriage time. And it's just not getting better. And I don't have a lot of hope for it getting better other than like these things I read in the Bible. And so I keep clinging to this. Anyone who has trusted in the Lord, has anyone who's trusted in the Lord been disappointed? You know, and I hope that they don't mean that it takes your whole life and you get to heaven and then you're not disappointed, because that's a long time. But in the meantime, I'm kind of clinging to this idea that God is good, and if he gives me something hard, it's for a reason. You know, maybe it's because I asked to be a saint and he said, all right, these are the requirements. But I have to believe and trust in the Lord and know that I will not be disappointed no matter how long it takes. All right. If you're struggling, read the book of Sirach. It's called Ben Sirach, right? That was one of those things no one told me. Everybody talked about Sirach, but then when you look in the Bible, it's actually called Ben Sirach. So don't feel dumb if you didn't know that. I didn't know that, and I felt dumb when I was looking for it. And then I figured that out. So prayers for all of you who are struggling with sugar, sleep, and stressful seasons in your life, because I totally get that. But I'm praying for you and wishing you success. Lean on the Lord and remember his mercy is endless and he loves you more than you could ever imagine. Thank you so much for listening to Coffee and Pearls, and have a blessed day.